Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
That you are with us today, Father God, and we ask you in these next few moments, Lord God, that we want to fix our eyes upon you. We want to lift our hearts to you, Father God. Lord, my God, we don't want to miss what you are doing, my God. Lord, we don't want to just be spectators. We don't want this just to be a temporary moment, my God. But Lord, in the midst of what you are doing in our lives and our churches and our cities, Father God, we ask you to speak to us this morning, Lord. To remind us, Lord, of why we do what we do. To remind us, Lord, of why you saved us, why you chose us, why you called us, Father God. And so this morning we give these next few moments to you, Lord. Speak as you desire to speak. Move as you desire to move, Father God. Touch as you desire to touch. Because this is about you. This is about your name. This is about your call. This is about your love, Father God. This is about your desire for the nations, your desire for your children, Father God. And so we surrender ourselves to you wholeheartedly. With everything we have, we give over to you. But today we would hold nothing back, Lord. But we would know who you are and who we are in you. We thank you today, Father God, and we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise, Lord God. And above all else, we give you all the glory in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord this morning. Amen. Worship team, thank you. I'm going to ask you very quickly to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. And we're just going to take a few moments this morning, but we've been hearing about the great things that God has been doing. We've been hearing about the great things that God wants to continue to do. But there is a foundation that underlies it all. There is a thread that runs through every choice that we make, a thread that has to run through everything that God does in our life. And today is more of a reminder of what it is that God desires to do in our life. It's a reminder of who we are to God. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a scripture that gets spoken a lot in church. But today we're going to focus in on it for a few minutes. In Zechariah chapter 4, just as you find out, I know it's one of the small books towards the end of the Old Testament, but I want to thank God for my salvation, and I thank God for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky and my family this morning, my wife Miranda and my kids. And beginning in verse 6, we're just going to read two verses. It says this: "And so he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace.'" Father God, speak to our lives this morning. Teach us, Father God, that it is you, Father God, that we hold on to. It is you that we trust in. So, Father God, have your perfect way this morning in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can take your seats. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. Many of us have great futures set in front of us. We hear about the things that God wants to do in our life. We hear about the things that God wants to do in our ministries and our churches, and we can look and say and know that God wants to do something great in our midst. But what do you do when your calendar is always full? Your diary is always packed? What do you do when it doesn't seem like you have enough hours in the day to do what God has called you to do? What do you do when your to-do list keeps getting longer and not getting shorter? How many people feel like that sometimes? That you know God's called you to something, but sometimes you can't seem to find the time. You see, with God, there are some things that just belong to him, and there's some things that he's revealed in us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that we have been created in God's image. That we have been created in the image of God, which means that we are able to give love. We are able to be holy before God. We are able to produce. We are able to have authority and influence. We have been created in the image of God. But there are certain things that belong to God and God alone. God is what they call omnipotent. He is all powerful. See, we, no matter how much we want to, will never be able to do everything. We will never be able to please everyone. But sometimes we can get to a place where we want to be everywhere and we want to do everything. And sometimes we can feel like we have to be good at everything or we have to say yes to everything. But some of us get a big breakthrough when we realize that we're not meant to be good at everything. We're not meant to be successful at everything. The old saying says about Christianity as a Christian is that the biggest danger for the Christian is not being a failure. The biggest danger is being a success at the wrong things. But sometimes God has called you with a field and an art and a skill, and God doesn't want you to be like everyone else. God has given you a weapon. God has given you a calling and a purpose. And you're not meant to be all powerful. That's just for God. That's why when we disciple, we don't disciple unto ourselves. We disciple unto Christ, and we have teams of people, groups of people, where we work and we invest and we equip. Because you see, if you've only ever got one person speaking into your life, the positive is that you might gain their strengths. The negative is that you'll recreate their weaknesses. You see, you're meant to have gathered people around you that are men and women of God, skilled in different areas, experienced in different areas, so that you can be all that God has called you to be. We're not meant to be all powerful. That's just for God. You see, not only that, but God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that every time you try and have a conversation with them, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. And every time you try and say anything, yeah, but I know that. Yeah, I was already thinking that, you know. It was already in my... We're not meant to know everything. Some things are for God and God alone. And when you're going through seasons, that old saying says, when you can't understand God's hand, you trust his heart. Sometimes things can go away and we might not understand it, but God is all-knowing. Even the Bible says, do not be too wise in your own opinion. In other words, it doesn't say don't have an opinion. It doesn't say don't have a belief, but it says don't be too wise in it, but you're not open to what God is doing and what God's people are saying to you. Always live by this principle. I won't share my opinion unless I'm willing for you to share your opinion with me. That's what I stand on, is if I'm going to share something, I have to be willing for someone to come and share something back, is that we have to be open to what God's doing. And the last one is God is omnipresent. He is all places at all times. He is the creator of time. He is the creator of creation, which means that God comes and meets us in time, but he is not working to our calendar. He's not working to our to-do list. He is working by his mission and his purpose for our life. But I know some of us like to be everywhere, at all times, for all things, in all situations. But I want to let you know, you're not omnipresent. Only God is. Some things are just reserved for God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says this. Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the truth. But yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Peter said, even though you already know it, I'm here to remind you of it. How many people know you need to be reminded of certain things sometimes? When life gets busy, when we get success or we get setbacks, we have to be reminded of who God is and what he wants to do in our life. I heard the saying the other day that says, in your successes, make sure that God is in everything. And in your setbacks, make sure you remember you've got everything in God. But no matter what season you're in, we have to remember that God is our source, that God is our provider. And it reminds me of a story, I've shared it before, about two woodcutters. And they're chopping down trees, and you have this young woodcutter. And he was young, he was athletic, he was kind of like a gang warrior kind of guy. One of them guys, you know, that they're a large, but they wear a medium shirt because they want to look good. Men can live in denial too, and they walk around. Every man's looking at each other now. But you know what? He was walking around. He had athletic, he had strength, he had zeal, he had it all. And then you had the older man. He didn't look as athletic. He didn't look as strong. And so the young man wanted to impress. And so he said to the older man, he said, I bet you, I guarantee you, that if we had a competition to see who could cut down the most trees, I will cut down more trees than you in 24 hours. So the old man thought about it. And he said, you know what? You're on. And so the young man began to chop away, confident in his own strength, confident in his own athleticness, his ability. He began to chop away. And every hour or so, he'd take a look at the old man. And he'd see the old man sitting down. And the young man would say to himself, you know what, I've got this in the bag. And then at the end of the 24 hours, the people began to count up all the trees that had been chopped down. And the young man standing there waiting for the accolade, waiting for the victory. And they turn around and say, the old man chopped down more trees than the young man. And the young man looked at him and he said, how did you do that? And the old man turned around and said, it's real simple. Every time you saw me sitting down, I was sharpening my axe. I was sharpening the weapon God gave me. I was sharpening the tools that God put in my hand. You see, it's not by might. It's not by strength. It's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. And we have to be a people that learn how to access the presence of God, sharpen the weapons that God has given us to be able to see the influence in our lives that God has called it to be. You see, might speaks about trusting in the external. We talk about the might of armies, the might of money, the might of these things. The might it talks about is about trusting in the things that are external, trusting in the doctor's report, trusting in the strength that you might have in yourself, trusting in those things. But God says it's not by might, because no matter how skilled you are, it runs out. No matter how gifted you are, it can run out. But when you're working by God's Spirit, when you're being led by God's power, when you're accessing God's presence, there is no end to that. So even you can be the most skilled man on earth, but at the end of the day, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. Power talks about the internal. It talks about trusting in yourself, trusting in what you have to give. The power speaks about what comes from within. And God says that many times what we go through inside is not the reality of what God wants to achieve in our life. But sometimes we have to trust that God is working a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. I remember Pastor Sonny sharing a story about when Vichy Outreach first began to get noticed for the ministry and the work that God was doing in it to the recovery homes. And he spoke about how he got called into a meeting where the government in America wanted to offer him millions and millions of dollars to the ministry to be able to start to branch out and create more homes and create more influence. But what they wanted to do is as they began to give, wanted to give money to the ministry, they began to ask him to change their convictions. Began to ask Pastor Sonny in the ministry to begin to change certain values. And Pastor Sonny, I remember he said he walked out of that meeting because his source and his resource was not dependent on what man could give him, but it was dependent on what God had called him to do, what God had spoken over his life. You see, it's not by might. It's not by what you possess. It's not by even sometimes what you can create in yourself. It's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. God's Spirit is eternal. You see, I don't know if you've ever made an altar call or got a breakthrough and said that things are different now, but then just a few hours later, it felt the same again. I don't know if you've ever gone to sleep on a Sunday night and thought, I'm never going to be the same again, and then you wake up on Monday morning and think, you know what, I'm exactly the same as I was before I came to church on Sunday morning. You see, we're not called to fight in our own strength. We're not called to live in our own means, but God has given us a resource. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Read that again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In church, we say different things. We say the declarations, if God is for me, who can be against me? And we say that God is fighting for me. And we sing the song saying, our God is greater and we have the victory. And he's won it all, and we make these statements. But sometimes it can get confusing about whether you're meant to fight or God's meant to fight. Are you meant to work or is God meant to work? You see, the reality is that it's both. The reality is this, is that the Holy Spirit has given us the ability and the capacity to fight in God's strength and not your own. So when we say God is fighting for me, we mean it. God is fighting for me. But when Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight, he means it too. You better learn to fight, but not fight in your own wisdom, not fight in your own means, not fight off your own resources, but fight in God's strength, fight in God's promises. And that's what the Holy Spirit has given us, the ability to stand in God's might, to stand in God's power, to love when your love has run out, to serve when you don't want to serve no more, to stand when all you want to do is run. You still got to make a choice, but it's in God's strength and God's might and God's power that we become who God has called us to be. When you've reached the end of yourself, then you really begin to find yourself. Apostle Paul spoke about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says that I would, where did he say? He says, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you ever meet a man without humility, you meet a man without power. If you ever meet a woman without humility, you meet a woman without power. You see, it's in our humility that God is able to anoint. It's in our humility that God is able to strengthen. And sometimes the biggest breakthrough you get is recognizing you can't do it on your own. Sometimes the biggest breakthrough you get is realizing that you're not meant to be like the person sitting next to you. You're not meant to live like they live in the sense of the personality and what have you. But you see, in the natural, some of us shouldn't be here today. In the natural, some of us should not be doing the things that we're doing today. But my friend, God does not work according to the natural. God does not work according to the superficial. God does not work according to your CV. He works according to the call and the plan that he's placed upon your life. Some of us were skeptics. Some of us were depressed. Some of us were bound to addiction. But yet we stand here today because of God's power, not because of our might, not because of our strength, but God's spirit that set us free, God's spirit that changed our life. But what Paul said to Galatians, why did you begin in the spirit and now continue in the flesh? If it's God's spirit that set us free, it's God's spirit that will continue to use you and move you and turn your life to be all that it's called to be. In Romans 8:11, I love this scripture. In Romans 8:11, I know we're meant to love every scripture, but I love this scripture. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is able to raise your life and my life today. That same spirit that when the world had said it was over, brought life where there was death, brought hope where there was fear, brought acceptance where there was rejection. That same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the grave is the same spirit that can raise you and I today to be all that God has called us to be. But it's his spirit. It's his leading, it's his guiding, it's obedience to God. And when we begin to follow his spirit and not our own understanding, then you begin to see life come out of death. You begin to see light shine into the darkness. It's his spirit. It's not a passive statement, it's an active one. You see, to say that God is fighting for me is not to say that I'm not fighting myself. It's not a statement of removal from a situation. It's a declaration of authority that God is with me. You see that in my strength and my might, I might only be able to go so far. But in God's strength and God's might, the impossible becomes possible. But I love that the impossible becomes possible in you. Not just around you, not for you, in you. The impossible becomes possible. You see, many times God has given us the tools to live lives of victory. But as Christians, we can walk around waiting for God to do something for us that he's equipped us to do for ourselves. The Bible says, renew your mind. God doesn't say he's going to come and renew it for you. He gives you the strength and the ability by his spirit to renew your mind. He says, strengthen yourself in the Lord. He doesn't, every time, he's not going to come and just give you this little fingertip touch and all of a sudden you're dancing and skipping through the fields. Sometimes you've got to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. He says to fan the flames of the gift. God's not standing there with a big fan like you see people waving. You've got to be able to fan the flames of the gifts and the prophecies and the promises in your life. And it comes by tapping into the presence of God, declaring God's word, believing in God's miracles, knowing that God has called you. God's not just going to wave a big fan in your face and all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and say, I'm going to win the world. Sometimes you have to win yourself first. And then the world will take care. God says to put on the full armor. Not your neighbor's armor. No one's going to come and dress you. No one dresses me now. Some of you think probably should. But no one dresses me now. I'm 34 years old. I've had to learn to dress myself. It's like with our daughter, Brooklyn. No, you go and dress yourself now. And she comes down in some funky outfits. Like, well, we're not going out of the house like that. But you go and dress yourself again, because at a certain age, you have to learn to clothe yourself. And as children of God, when you reach a certain point, you have to learn to clothe yourself, to put the armor on, to equip yourself for the battle that God has called you to fight. You see, but there's a starting point to all of this. There's something that underlines it all. When you fight from your own strength, you fight for victory. When you fight in God's strength, you fight from victory. I'm going to say that one more time. When you fight in your own strength, you fight for victory. But when you fight in God's strength, you fight from victory. You see, God has already secured a victory for us. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, a portion of scripture that I've read many times, but as I read it this week, God began to really speak to me in a different way about it. And if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, if we're going to continue to see God do what he's doing, this is just the beginning. Worshippers Arise is a taste of what God is going to do week in, week out in our cities and our nations and our churches. It is a source, it's a mantle, it's an example of the power and the way that God is going to show up in our nations and our cities and our street corners. No coincidence that we went from the secret place to the public place. Because it begins in secret and then the power will be revealed in public. Matthew chapter 3, and when we really catch this and internalize this, I believe that there's going to be a new freedom in our worship, a new freedom in our authority, a new freedom in the way we walk, but I really need us to catch this, man. God is speaking in this scripture right here. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Father said to his son, "I am pleased with you." You know what's amazing about this scripture? And what I love about this scripture is that God was pleased with his son before Jesus ever did anything. We need to catch that. That Father said to his child, "I am pleased with you." Jesus hadn't healed no lepers yet. Jesus hadn't had the crowds. Jesus hadn't gathered the multitudes. And yet the Father was able to say to his child, "I am pleased with you." There's a new freedom in worship and our relationship with God when you know that God is pleased with you no matter what you do. And I'm not talking about living any kind of life you want, but God's pleasure comes from who you are to him, not what you do for him. Doing always flows out of being. You see, Father was able to look at Jesus before he performed any miracles, before he performed any great acts, and he said, "I am pleased with you." And that was the birth of the ministry of Jesus, to know that his Father was pleased with him, and he followed that. I think that's amazing. To know that you can stand and say that my Father loves me, that my Father is pleased with me. And again, it's not a license to do or act however we feel, but when you know your Father is pleased with you, you live a different way. You worship a different way. You serve a different way. You pray a different way. You can't have authority in worship if you think your Father condemns you. You can't have a freedom in worship or praise if you think your Father is displeased with you. But when you know you are accepted, when you know that you are chosen, when you know that you are called no matter what, then the freedom that comes from that place will give birth to authority and influence and power in your ministry. The Father was pleased with his child. That is the starting point of our worship and our service. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, a great statement says this: "I love because Christ first loved me. I love because Christ first loved me." Everything we do is in response to God's action towards us. That's why it says in Daniel 11, verse 32, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Sometimes I think we flip the scripture around. Those who do great exploits must know God. No, the Bible says that when you know God, you will commit and carry out great things. It starts in your knowledge and your understanding, your acceptance of who God made you, of who God called you to be, of who we are. We live in a world where people are running and walking and fighting and doing all these different things just in order to find some type of belonging. And yet we stand here, our testimony is not that we have great worship. Our testimony is not simply that we have great this or great that. Our testimony is that we are accepted by our Father. And a world that is searching for acceptance, that is our testimony. It is not come and look at how I play the drums, not come and look at how well I preach, not come and look at how well it is, but look at the fact that we are a people that have been accepted by a Father that created the heavens and the earth. And that has to underline and run through everything we do, that we are accepted by God. You see, there's no spiritual gift of love. Reason being, because love is the foundation of every spiritual gift. You see, you love through every spiritual gift. You love through every service, through every act. You see, there's some people that have great ministries on earth, but they're going to have clanging cymbals in heaven. Because love has to flow through everything we do. It's a mandate. We can't say, well, I work hard, I leave loving people to someone else. Or I'm not called to really love people, I'm called to do this and do this. No, we're all called to love. And that was the foundation of the ministry. When God spoke to his son right there, he said, I love you. And it's love that gives us that. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister. It says that acts of love are remembered in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered in heaven. I want people to take note of the life that I live. And that means that whether I've got big crowds or small, whether I'm in the public spotlight or whether I'm in the private spotlight, it doesn't determine whether I'm known in heaven. Whether you're known in heaven is how you love people, how you give to people. I'm going to ask Vicky to put that picture, the first picture of the heart. If you can put the heart on there. I don't know why someone hung it on pegs, but anyway. Can I ask you a question? What does that say? Most say, I love you, right? We say, would most people say, give me a little wave. If you say, most people say, you know what, that says, I love you, right? Kind of. You see, that only says, I love you, if your heart is filled with love. That doesn't say, I love you, if your heart isn't filled with love. Right? I know it's kind of like, it was like, I don't know. But that's the reality, is that only says, I love you, if your heart beats love. That only says I love you if you've accepted the love of your Father. That could really say anything. Depending what goes on in our hearts sometimes, that could say anything. But we associate it with love, but sometimes our heart is not filled with love because we've not accepted our Father's love. We've not accepted the purposes and the plans that he's given for you. So I want to ask you just to go to the next picture. See, it says, I always thought love was shaped like a heart, but it's actually shaped like a cross. I would rather someone send me a picture of a cross and put that in the middle of it. I cross you than I heart you. Because at least with a cross, there's evidence that God is with us and God is for us. And love is not something that you just feel. Love is something that you have to confess and you have to speak and you have to trust. In Ephesians 5:2, it says, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. As Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. That's where the acceptance begins. That's where authority begins. That's where the leading of God's Spirit begins, is knowing that you are his child and knowing that he has a purpose and a plan for your life. The scriptures say that as John wrote in Revelations, I believe it is, and he talked about the church coming back to their first love. And sometimes when it gets real busy and it gets real tiring, we can lose sight of the very reason for which we do what we do. But I even believe that there's a first love within that first love. That when you came to Christ, you have to sometimes remind yourself of what you first fell in love with. Some of us, we first fell in love with that opportunity to worship God. That opportunity to be someone that can worship him. But sometimes over time and over the ministry and over different things, we can get to a place where the worship becomes more of a performance than it does a weapon. More of a performance than it does a way of connecting with God. I have this thing with my son, right? if you know my son, he doesn't like to listen all the time. Not all the time. But I say to him, if he asks for a sweet, I say to him, you're not eating that. And he'll go away and he'll wait till he thinks that I've left the house and he'll go and put the sweet or the chocolate in his mouth. And then I'll come and find him. And I've got this thing with him, that if any of that chocolate is still in your mouth, I'm whipping it out. Because I told you weren't meant to have it. So my two fingers will go in his mouth and I'll bring out his chocolate or his sweets or whatever it is. Because if you're not meant to have it, you're not meant to have it. But you see, sometimes I feel like that's sometimes what God has to do to get us to praise and worship. He sometimes has to drag the thing out of our mouth. He sometimes has to drag the worship out. I remember a time when I didn't need to be told to worship. I just got up in the morning and there was something in me that understood that I need to worship God. It was a weapon that I used. It was a way of worship, but it was a weapon I used to stand in the midst of trouble and strife. But sometimes we lose sight of a weapon that God gives us and we stop sharpening the axe. Some of us, when we first came to Christ, we fell in love with God's word. But now it's become more of a way of acquiring knowledge than it has worshiping God. For some of us, we pray. Man, we could pray day and night. For some of us, it was our testimony. That we would just share our testimony wherever we went. But you see, God wants us to bring us back to that first love. God wants to bring us back to that first love. I'm going to ask Pastor Anthony if he comes to the keyboard. But we can't forget that in all the miracles that we see, in all the greatness that we've seen God moving, that it isn't by might or power. It's not by what we did or what we earned. Yes, we worked as a team. Yes, we came together. God blesses that, but it's going to continue by the leading of his Spirit. And that is underlined by the fact that you and I are accepted by God this morning, that we are his children. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet. And love has to run through everything we do. Love has to be the foundation of our choices and our decisions. But you can't love if you haven't allowed yourself to be loved. You can't accept people if you've not allowed yourself to be accepted by God. And the foundation of where we move from on this day is that we are God's children and he is pleased with you and I this morning. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard anyone tell you that God is pleased with you. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard someone say that God is proud of you. But a father spoke to his son before he did anything and said, "This is my son with whom I love." Maybe this morning, in the busyness, maybe in the successes or the setbacks, maybe in everything that's taking place, we need to remind ourselves that I am God's child, that I am accepted by my father. And I want us to lift our hands. I want the worship team to lead us for a few moments. And I want us just to make a declaration to God right now that, God, I am yours. I want us to say that to him. God, I am yours. I don't even want us to say, I'm going to do this for you, God. I'm going to do that for you. I just want us to declare this morning, God, I am yours. I am your son. I am your daughter. I am your child. Come on, declare it this morning. It's going to give birth to something. That reality gives birth to something. Come on, just continue to declare that. You can come right now. Wherever you are, you can come to this altar and you can say and begin to declare, God, I am yours. Declare it. Don't wait to be told what to say. Don't wait to be told to come. just begin to come into his presence as his son, as his daughter.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So as we stay in this place for a few moments, I really believe that there's some of us here today that we're living a life of regret. We spend more time looking back at what we didn't do or where we missed it. And we feel like that God has kind of left us. God has moved on without us. That we've seen other people getting blessed and other people happening in this area and that area. And we kind of living with regret to say that, you know what, if only I had done this or if only I had made that choice. But God this morning is saying that he doesn't want you to live a life of regret. He doesn't want you to live a life of if only. He wants to be your only. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your identity. He wants to be your hope. And for some of us, I feel like regret has filled our hearts. It's filled our tongue. It's filled our mouth. And every choice that we make is birthed out of regretting a decision. Every decision we make when we look in the mirror, when we speak about ourselves, it's out of a regret where we say, if only I had done this. But this morning God says, don't live a life of if only. Live a life with him being your only. I want us to worship one more time. And for some of you, man, even some of you in your seats, if you're living a life like that where you're looking back and you're saying, God, I regret this. God, if only I hadn't done that. Right now is the time to bring it to God and say, God, in your presence, God, in your presence. And for some of you today, you're faced with a big decision and you're lining up all your cards on the table, trying to work out what to do. But God says, in that place of worship, in that place of my presence, I'm going to show you the path I have for you. And so right now, let's lift our hands and let's worship him. Father God, this morning, Lord, we ask you to fill our hearts, Lord, first and foremost, with that acceptance of who we are in you, my God. But no matter what great feats we have in store, no matter what great dreams that we have, no matter what ambitions are laying within our hearts, Lord God, that Father God, first and foremost, that we would know that we are yours, that you are our Father and we are your children, Father God. And I pray for those of us this morning, Lord, that our hearts have been filled, Father God, with something other than your love. Lord, I pray, Lord God, refill us this morning, my God. Refill us with your compassion. Refill us with your love. Refill us, my God. Lord, that it doesn't become about the works. It doesn't become, Lord God, about the achievements, Lord. But it remains, Lord, about your love for us and your love for the people around us, Lord. Fill our hearts afresh right now. Holy Spirit, pour out into our hearts, Lord, a freshness, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for today, my God.
We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for your promises and your purposes, my God. Continue to work in our lives. Continue to work in our midst, Father God, as we trust in you and we keep our eyes fixed upon you. Hallelujah.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon. Ooh.